Well, praise God. Let me just tell you where we're going because God interrupted our morning. And God came and showed up and showed off, and that's what he does, and so we're glad about that. I was going to bring a teaching this morning after Cal on taking back ground from the evil one, but God decided he wanted to show up and actually take back ground from the evil one. So I'm going to do what Jesus did and teach out of what just happened this morning, because that's how Jesus always did it. And then John Butler is going to come as we end our time together this afternoon and teach on receiving and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a good way to end, a really good way to end. So we're going to leave this place empowered. I do want to thank Cal. Cal's part of a cohort that I lead every month, and it's so great to have him and get to know him in that cohort. But to see you bring the Word of God today, it was very powerful and special for me. And you unpacked for us beautifully the ascended and anointed Christ. And so thank you, brother. I love that you painted a fresh picture of who Jesus is for us out of your own life and you know, out of the core teaching here. We all need a fresh picture of who Jesus is. He's not the white Jesus hanging on the wall. He's not the Jesus that's still stuck to a cross. That's not who Jesus is. He's not on a cross anymore. He is ascended. In fact, what I love about the ascension, if you read that passage, it says that as he was ascending to heaven, he was blessing the people. That's incredible. As Jesus is being lifted off the ground, going up to heaven, he's blessing the people. What are you doing? Just a thought. But I want to bring a teaching this afternoon on taking back ground from the evil one. This is in your notebooks. And in many ways, I'm basically going to teach what happened this morning, because God gave us a glimpse of what he wants to do here in our lives and in Williamsport in this whole valley. Now, if you were at the first module, you remember there are seven parts of the Lord's Prayer pattern. Dale unpacked these for us. There are seven parts of the Lord's Prayer pattern. Now, I'm tempted to ask somebody here to stand and tell us what those seven parts are. Does anyone think they can do it? Who? Jane? Yes. Okay, our Father who art in heaven, that's the room of relationship. And then it's something royalty. Worship is the second room. Hallowed be your name.
And the third one is sonship.
Is lordship. You're getting close. You're close. Lordship, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And
now is sonship.
Okay, sonship.
Give us today our daily bread.
And leadership.
Fellowship. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You've got them. And then the sixth one is leadership. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ownership. You've got the ships. They're just not in the right order. They're close. Give Jane a hand. Hey, nobody else tried. Go, Jane. That's right. But I want to point us right now to the room of leadership, because this lesson deals with that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, as people, we have two basic problems. These are the two problems every one of us in this room faces: sin and Satan. Lead us not into temptation, that's sin. Deliver us from evil, that is Satan. And Jesus, the ascended anointed Christ, who Cal pointed us to today, is the answer for both. He is, first, the Savior. He saves us from sin. He is the answer to the sin problem. And Jesus comes because he is our forgiver. And the church is good at preaching the forgiveness of Christ, right? The second problem is Satan. And Jesus is also the answer to that, because he is the bondage breaker. He is the one who sets prisoners free, captives free, just like the Isaiah passage when Jesus repeats it in Luke 4. That is who Jesus is. He is the deliverer. Now, the problem is the church isn't so good at preaching that. The fact that Jesus wants to give freedom from strongholds. We don't often hear about this in our churches. Well, we will today. Now, it's written in John 10 that the reason, 1 John 3, the reason the Son of God appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. The reason the Son of God appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if Jesus came and appeared to destroy the works of the devil, shouldn't you and I know a little bit about how to send demons running? It's probably good that we understand what Jesus did and live the way Jesus lived, right? I mean, that's why we're learning to pray the way Jesus prayed. We ought to live like Jesus lived. Did you know that the primary messianic psalm and scripture from the Old Testament that's most used in the New Testament is a powerful messianic scripture that says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand while I make all of your enemies a footstool." That is the most quoted messianic scripture from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Don't you find that? That is a passage of deliverance. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand while I make all of your enemies a footstool." I want to be part of building the footstool for Jesus. I want to be part of stuffing demons into the footstool. That's why when I send demons running, I send them to the feet of Jesus to become his footstool. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand while I make all of your enemies a footstool." All of your enemies is referring to Satan, to demons, powers of the air, principalities. Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your boss, believe it or not. It is dealing with the spiritual realm. Now, when you read through the Gospels, every book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, every one of them shows us Jesus' deliverance ministry. In fact, I love this passage in Mark 5. I actually have this message on Mark 5 that I just love to preach. But in Mark 5, we see Jesus, one of his first miracles is setting a man free. He rows across the lake and he comes to this place. And he encounters this man almost immediately, that a man that most of us would run away from. In fact, as soon as Jesus is getting out of the boat, walking on the land, this man who in the South we say was bucket naked, comes running out of the tomb, screaming like a banshee, and Jesus comes face to face with this man. This is a man who most everyone in the area knew about and avoided. They wouldn't even venture into this area because they knew he was there. They've tried to bind him up, didn't work. And Jesus comes. The man is set free. This man who most of us would completely avoid, Jesus confronts. Why? Because there is no place Jesus will not go. There is no person Jesus cannot reach. And there is no person Jesus cannot use. Because that man whose life turned around was then used by God in that area. Now, I wish I could unpack the whole story. Go read it, Mark 5. Read it tonight. Powerful story. But this is one of Jesus' first miracles and it's deliverance. And so we see Jesus is always confronting Satan. But see, this guy was really weird. But I want us to understand deliverance isn't just for the weird people. Deliverance isn't just for a few misfits. Deliverance is for all of us. Well, why do you say that? It's right in the Lord's prayer pattern. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. In case you didn't know, the us means you. The sooner you realize your need for deliverance, the sooner you will be delivered. He cannot deliver the person who doesn't know they need deliverance. So deliver us from evil. That means you and you and you and you and you and me. Us. I find that fascinating. You see, just as much as we all need freedom from sin, we also all need deliverance on some level. It's for all of us. Now, what I want us to understand, and the passage I'm going to bring us to, is in 2 Corinthians. In fact, as we were praying this morning, somebody brought this passage up. Because what we have to understand is that we all need to be delivered from evil, and that includes demons and strongholds. Now, you might ask, what is a stronghold? I'm glad you asked. A stronghold is a thought pattern that sounds logical but is not biblical. I would probably write that down. If it's in your notes, I really can't remember. Circle it, highlight, start it, memorize it, whatever you've got to do. A stronghold is a thought pattern that sounds logical but is not biblical. Why a stronghold? Because when the enemy attacks, he almost always attacks your mind first. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He will manipulate and twist everything that he can in your life to erect a stronghold in your mind. Jesus comes to tear down strongholds. You see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. There's that word. We demolish, listen, arguments and every pretension. What's a pretension? It's a false idea. It's a false idea that sets itself up against the knowledge, mind of God. And we take captive every what? Every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So a stronghold's a thought pattern that is not obedient to Christ. It's not submitted to Christ. It's not in alignment with God's kingdom. That, my friends, is a stronghold. It's a lie that you have allowed to grow roots and to stay around, like a friend you don't like. Like that uncle that comes around at Christmas. You're ready for him to leave the day they get there. That's a stronghold. You let it stick around. Somebody's got that uncle. You see, you see, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and he'll take anything that he can and manipulate it, twist it, to establish a stronghold, a root system in your mind that begins to affect every other part of your life. Now, deliverance always begins with an encounter with truth. Always. Always. It always begins with truth. Truth that comes from the Word of God about who He says we are, what we're called to do, and who He says He is. Deliverance always begins with a truth encounter that leads us to the tearing down of strongholds, the dismantling of flawed thought patterns. Now, once our enemy loses the battle with truth, he begins to lose his power. That's why a truth encounter must always lead to a power encounter. There's a lot of ministries out there these days that are all truth and no power, or all power and no truth. We have got to walk a middle ground. A truth encounter always leads to a power encounter. Because once you get truth, you've got to eject and reject and dismember and dismantle and send to the feet of Jesus that power that was there that's not of God. Truth encounter always leads to a power encounter. Now, why do you think the demonic realm works so hard to keep you away from church or away from reading the scripture or away from environments like this? They don't want you to come in contact with truth. It's real. It happens. Now, yesterday we encountered the Father's love. For many of us, this was new. This was fresh revelation, fresh truth for us, straight from the Word of God. And in that moment, we were having a truth encounter that led to a power encounter. We evicted the orphan spirit. You see, Daniel shared with us that moment where his dad held his head down. You know, you can only imagine the aggression and the pain that would cause a young boy. And see, he had allowed the stronghold, the lie, to begin right here. And it moved from here and the 15 inches down to here and affected who he was and who he believed God said he was. And it wasn't until he had a truth encounter with the love of God that then led to a power encounter, the eviction of the orphan spirit, that his life, his marriage began to change in radical ways. That is the example of what I'm talking about. A truth encounter that leads to a power encounter. Daniel now has a restored relationship with his own son because he allowed truth to tear down strongholds and the power of Christ to eject the power of Satan and to bring a restored life, a restored marriage, a restored relationship with his son.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. That's what Jesus does. That's why it says, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Now, one thing Jesus does is he loves to forgive sins. And I would say we're all glad that Jesus likes to forgive sins. Amen?
Amen?
But Jesus also loves to free people from strongholds. You see, did he give his authority over demonic spirits just to his 12 disciples? Did he give that authority just to the 70? Did he give that authority just to the early church? He gave that authority to every single one of us. Every one of us. And do you think that he stopped giving that authority? No, he's still giving that authority today to each one of us. It says in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, what was the first part of that?
Submit.
Submit. See, those promises aren't active for those who aren't submitted. God is not bound to something you are not submitted to. We often leave that part of the scripture out. Submit to God. Then resist, and he will flee. Then Paul says in Ephesians 6, to take your stand against the devil. You see, we are called to resist. There are times that I am expected to resist the devil. And then Paul says, take your stand against the devil. You see, every one of us is called to resist. Every one of us is called to stand. Say, I am called to resist.
I am called
to stand. Age is irrelevant. Position is irrelevant. Title is irrelevant. Education, you don't have to repeat all that. Education is irrelevant. All of those things are irrelevant. We are all called to resist. We are all called to stand. It's personal, and we have opportunities throughout our day to do this. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm not the only one that has opportunity throughout my day. Every time you get on the computer, every time you get on your phone and begin to browse around social media, browse around internet, browse around, I don't know, but you're browsing around on the internet and you see this ad and you think, huh, well, that's not really pornography, but I'll just take a look. And then it leads to this and leads to this and leads to this. Or you travel a lot, you come to a hotel room, and what do? Do you turn on the TV? What channel do you flip to? Or you, I was in a role. Or you go and get your hair done. Or you go to church and there's people who are gossiping. Did you hear what Pastor did? Can you believe Pastor's wife? She's always saying this and she's always doing that. What about those pastor's kids? You see, you know what the real Greek term for gossip is? Little devil. You see, we have opportunities all day, every day, to resist and to stand. Resist and stand. Now, it says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and give it abundantly. See, that's the promise. That's the beauty. And Jesus comes to give life by doing what? By taking back ground, by delivering us, setting us free. Imagine this diagram you see in your notes. I want everybody to turn there in their books. Now, this diagram, these four quadrants, I want you to imagine that diagram as the ground of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. We talked about that last night. And each of the four quadrants represents a different area of evil that attacks our soul. The first are religious strongholds. Religious strongholds. This is what the Old Testament refers to as idols. Idols. An idol is anything that battles for the place of glory, for Christ's glory in your life. An idol is anything that battles for the place of God's glory in your life. Now, religious strongholds, for the most part, attack our spiritual development. I'll say that again. Religious strongholds attack our spiritual development. An idol can be anything that takes place of Jesus in our life. Sports, activity, even productivity. Anything that we put above Christ can become an idol. Now, I want to point out a few. Witchcraft is a religious stronghold. Witchcraft is very easy to understand. It's manipulation or intimidation for the sake of domination and control. Manipulation or intimidation for the sake of domination or control. Witchcraft is control. If you battle with control in your life, having to control everything around you, you are battling with witchcraft. It is one of the hardest things to evict, one of the hardest things to get rid of. Control is completely linked to witchcraft. It is the manipulation of people so that you can control. It's done most often through intimidation or through domination. I'm not going to ask how many of you have sat in elder meetings or board meetings in your church. If you were to really think about it, and think about someone who's there, maybe even you, who tried to manipulate or control the conversation to go a way that you wanted it to go. You see, years ago, I realized I could manipulate people. And I would manipulate people. And then years ago, God set me free. He showed me, you have a spirit of control. And He set me free from it. By God's grace, every now and then that thing tries to rear its ugly head. But I'm aware now. The truth is there. So the truth encounter can lead to a power encounter. This often comes in the form of what we call the Jezebel spirit. It's that spirit that we see in the Old Testament that tried to manipulate a nation, control a nation, the nation of Israel, establishing false prophets, destroying real prophets, because the Jezebel spirit hates the presence of God, hates the presence of God. It's manipulative. In fact, the Jezebel spirit is one of the only spirits that the New Testament comes back and addresses in Revelation. It talks about the Jezebel spirit. Now, I don't have time to unpack all that today. I would encourage you to find some good resources, even on our website at the College of Prayer. We have a way to battle that spirit, and you can go on our website and get the free resources there on how to do that. It's real, it's active, it is destroying our churches. Because Ahab always lets in Jezebel. Ahab is complacency. It's complacent leadership. Ahab let his wife rule the kingdom. And she almost destroyed the kingdom. She's manipulative, she's dominating, and she's dangerous. And as a pastor and as a leader, you cannot let it stand. You cannot be Ahab when it comes to Jezebel. Now, again, more stuff on our website about that. I'd encourage you to go and get that. The second religious stronghold I want to point out is spiritual apathy. Really, it's passivity. It's laziness. It's spiritual laziness. This is the church at Laodicea. They had become passive, complacent. And Jesus warns them. We have too many churches that have become complacent, passive. We have many church leaders who have become spiritually passive in their homes. Hello. They have this huge plan of spiritual growth and development and formation for their churches, and no spiritual formation for their homes. That is, friends, spiritual passivity, spiritual apathy. It is a religious stronghold, and it has to go. The other one is religious sleep. Now you think, what is he talking about, religious sleep? That's when I can open the newspaper and I can read for hours, or I can pick up a Sports Illustrated, and or I can browse the internet on articles for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Roll Tide, because I love the Crimson Tide, and I can read article after article on Nick Saban and the team and what's happening, what's coming this year. National championship, amen. I can do all those things, and as soon as I pick up the Word of God and begin to read, it's religious sleep. It's demonic. God set me free from this. When I was growing up, and it wasn't just because my dad was the pastor, I would fall asleep in church all the time. All the time. It served me no good to fall asleep while my dad was preaching, okay? I was going to hear about it later. But I did. When I would try to read the Word of God, I would fall asleep. And God set me free from that as He ignited my heart and began to get rid of strongholds in my life. This was one of the strongholds. I have no problem sitting in a 3-hour service now. It's religious sleep. And so many of us, we come into church and we can watch a 4-hour football game, and as soon as we sit in the seat at church, we begin to fall asleep. Friends, that is demonic. I'm not looking for a demon under every bush. That's not who we are. But I'm telling you, it's real. And you can get rid of that stronghold. There's also false religions. If you've come out of false religions, there are most likely, I would say definitely, strongholds you need to get rid of from those false religions. Sorcery, wizardry, Freemasonry, All of those things are religious strongholds. They are not of God. Now, if in this area, I know that Freemasonry is a stronghold. If you have any discernment, awareness, any watchman anointing on you, you know that there is a stronghold of Freemasonry in this region. It is a secret society. I could explain a lot more. I'm not going to today. Maybe at some point we will. Freemasonry is completely demonic. If you don't know that, I want to be the first to tell you today. Freemasonry is demonic. Whether you're at the first level or the 32nd level, whether you're a Grand Mason or just dabbling in it, it is completely demonic. They literally call down curses on their families. They don't even understand what they are saying. They are calling down a hoodwink spirit. They're calling down curses of not being able to get pregnant. Death. They call down curses one after another. They don't even realize it when they're initiated into it. It has got to be confronted, addressed, and brought down in the name of Jesus. It is absolutely a stronghold in this region. It is a dam that has to bust for the glory of Christ to flow through this valley. Amen. And I believe God has raised up this campus and you to deal with it. He will give the strategy. Part of the strategy Dell initiated today, it is the unity of the church. We believe God moves when churches unite. He is drawn to unity. And that is part of the way the stronghold of Freemasonry will come down in this region. But make no mistake about it, it is completely demonic. And if you have people in your church who are in Freemasonry, if you are a pastor here or under authority or in authority in your church, you must address it. If you need to talk to me later, I can put some resources in your hands that will help you address it. If you have been in Freemasonry, I can put some resources in your hand that will literally walk you through freedom from Freemasonry, canceling every curse you've called down. It's about a 7-page document that'll take you about an hour to go through. We have seen people physically healed from all kinds of sickness and diseases, allergies, headaches, all kind of things that they have brought on themselves because of Freemasonry. And as they renounced it, as they went through the steps of freedom from Freemasonry, they were healed. One of our former board members, she and her sister were brought up in the Eastern Stars. That's kind of the woman's side of things for Freemasonry, which is also demonic. And they were brought up into that, and she began to learn through the College of Prayer that she needed to get deliverance from this thing, cut off those roots, those ties, and she began to go through steps of freedom and got completely delivered. And there was healing brought into her life, physical healing, things she had suffered with for years that were completely gone after she got freedom. Her sister, she began to tell her sister, you need to do this. Her sister said, I don't believe in any of that. I don't want any of that. I'm okay. Her sister continued to be sick. Her husband got sick. Her son went to prison. All kind of evil fell on their family. And you can literally look at her family and my friend's family and see a night and day testimony of deliverance. One who received it, one who rejected it. I won't go further on that, but I will say, if something is stirring in you about that, please come see me, see Dale. He knows where to grab resources as well, and we can help you walk through steps of freedom. Now, the second area of strongholds that's common to us is sexual strongholds. Sexual strongholds. Now, this is what the Old Testament refers to as Asherah poles. I'm not going to get incredibly descriptive here. Asherah poles are essentially the male sex organ that was placed out in public and worshipped. Now, the problem with sexual strongholds is that they moved from the public places to the private places. Uh-oh. Getting too real, Pastor. Things like masturbation, adultery, fornication, bestiality, frigidity, all kind of sexual idols and sins that plague our society. Pornography. Pornography is absolutely destroying the church. It is the second most common issue we deal with in our ministry. The number one is unforgiveness. Number two is pornography. Sexual strongholds. And what happens is the enemy begins, what starts out as a sin becomes a stronghold, because the enemy gets you to believe you can never be set free. You can never be set free from pornography. You can never be set free from masturbation. You have committed adultery, you'll do it again. He wants you to believe you can never be set free. And when you believe that, you will never live the way Jesus asked you to live. You will never be fully complete in the person who Jesus is wanting you to become, because you live with that lie. It begins to define you. You begin to be defined by it and live in bondage. And I know Jesus wants to set you free. I want to tell everyone in this room, if you are struggling with sexual strongholds, you can be set free. You can walk in freedom. I was preaching this in India, I don't know, a few years ago. I go a few times a year to India, and we have about 500 campuses of the College of Prayer in India. And I was preaching this, and there was this group of pastors, about 115 pastors there, and there was this group of pastors in the corner. And as I'm talking about sexual strongholds, they begin to kind of laugh. And frankly, it ticked me off. And so I stopped everything. And I said, I don't find anything funny about what I'm saying, because this is a real stronghold. And either you believe Jesus came and can set you free from it, or you don't, and you will live in bondage. This was just after all of that Ashley Madison stuff came out. I don't know if you remember that. It was like 2 years ago. And all Ashley Madison is a website. I don't know, but I'm praying and hope that it's not there anymore. I have no idea. But it's an adult website to foster relationships. And it was publicized, those who were registered on this website. In that weekend that this became public, hundreds of pastors resigned their pulpits that weekend. Hundreds and hundreds of pastors resigned their pulpits that weekend. So I was kind of ticked off anyway, and then they were laughing. So I kind of went off. And this pastor afterwards, we went through some deliverance, and this pastor afterwards came running to me, and he brought his cell phone. He said, Pastor, I have lived in the bondage of pornography for years, and today, he said, you came here for me. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you came here for me. Today, I have been set free. He took his SIM card out of his phone, and he broke it, and he said, now I'm free, and I can lead my people in freedom. I saw him about 6 months ago. He came running up to me again. He said, Pastor, do you remember me? I said, of course I remember you. I still have your SIM card on my desk. I want to remember. And he said, I'm still free. And I've led my people in freedom. That ought to get a few praise Gods. The third area of strongholds is generational strongholds. These are what the Old Testament refers to as high places. High places. Now, these are literal high places in the Old Testament, and even today, we don't see them necessarily in the U.S., although they're there, you wouldn't recognize them. They are places, high places of physical land that have been given over to Satan for generations and generations. I see them all throughout India and other places of the world. But the issue, again, just like the sexual strongholds, the Asherah poles, those high places have moved from the public to the private. You see, we've allowed these generational things, evil strongholds, to root themselves in our families and to stick around like an unwanted relative at Thanksgiving, to stick around, to hang out. And they go from one generation to another generation to another generation to another generation. This is talked about in the Old Testament. If you have a problem with it, take it up with Jesus, not with me. Anger. If you struggle with anger, if your dad struggled with anger, if your dad's dad struggled with anger, it's probably a generational stronghold. If your mother committed adultery, if her mother committed adultery, if her mother's mother committed adultery, if the kettle's black, racism, alcoholism. I am so grateful for a father who broke generational sins, who learned what it meant to break the generational sins, who understood when he read the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generations. When he read that and said, no longer in my family. And he stood against the spirit and generational sin of racism. His dad, who was a racist, and his dad's dad, who was a racist, and he said, no more, not in my family. And his dad's dad, who was an alcoholic, and his dad, who was an alcoholic, and he said, no more, not in my family, so that I don't have to deal with the junk and the garbage that he had to deal with. Amen. He broke it off. And there are things that my wife and I have broken off so that our daughters don't have to deal with the same junk. I don't want them to deal with a spirit of control passed down to them because I didn't cut it off. I don't want them to deal with a spirit of fear because we failed to stop it. My wife texted me this morning. She said, would you pray for me? I feel this spirit of fear coming back. First thing I did is I called her and I said, we've dealt with this. And in the name of Jesus, you cannot come back. You have no place in our home. You have no place in the lives of our daughters. You have no place in my wife's life. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And I declared that same scripture. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand while I make all of your enemies a footstool. And you, spirit of fear, are an enemy of Jesus. So go back to the footstool. I don't want my daughters dealing with anxiety and fear. I want to stand in the gap. And Jesus has called all of us to stand in the gap. It says so that he can, when we deal with this junk, so that he can bless 1,000 generations. That's pretty good math. If we will do the work now, he wants to bless 1,000 generations through us. I know, without question, I am living in the blessings of grandparents and parents who before me made a decision that we were going to be a family dedicated to the glory of Christ. They weren't perfect. They didn't deal with everything. They dealt with a lot of stuff. But I know I'm walking in the blessings because of the work they did 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. God wants it to be true for all of us. One generational stronghold I feel like I'm supposed to mention. This is not going to resonate with every one of you, but it's familiar spirits. And you might say, well, what is that? What is familiar spirits? Where does he get this from? Well, it's mentioned in Acts, it's mentioned in Isaiah, it's mentioned in Deuteronomy. Demons that take the persona of someone familiar who is deceased, and you consult with them or talk with them like they are living. Now, you might think, well, that's so weird, blah, blah, blah. I've never dealt with anything, but I guarantee you there are people in this room who have and who do. I was teaching this in New Jersey at our New Jersey Shore campus, about a year ago, and a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, that's it. I've had a familiar spirit, and today God set me free. If Acts mentions it, if Isaiah mentions it, if Deuteronomy mentions it, I think I should mention it. So if you're struggling with that, if you have seen that in your family, a familiar spirit, it can be like, I'm going to get real detailed. It can be something like an invisible friend. Oh, it's okay. My son has a little invisible friend, and I had it too. Really? Might want to think about that. Just saying. You look like you're about to go for it.
So up at Emporium, our neighbor had a kid who had an invisible friend. Before they got in touch with us, they hung a cross on the wall, a crucifix. They went to the store and came back, and the wall split down the middle. The drywall busted. The crucifix.
Had territory. Yeah.
Wow. Sorry.
The last area I want to point out where we have so many strongholds are emotional and mental strongholds. Depression, anger, suicide, fear, bitterness, low self-esteem, self-hatred, all of those things can be linked to demonic stronghold. Lies that you believe about yourself that you have allowed to infiltrate who you are, what you believe about yourself, and the way you live. You live with self-hatred. Do you think that's of God?
No.
He wants you to deal with that. He wants the truth of his word to be so injected into you that stronghold comes down. And you live like you say that you can live, that he says you can live, the way he has made available for you to live. You believe what he says about you, not what Satan says about you. These are all strongholds that Jesus wants to deal with. Now, I'm going to end quickly here. I'm going to lead us in deliverance right now. We have led tens of thousands of people around the world in deliverance. And we're going to do that right now. I want you to stand with me. And what I want to point out, keep your book open. What I want to point out is that there are some resources there that I want you to take to heart, take with you as you go. They are simple guidelines for how to become free, how to tear down strongholds and have a truth encounter that leads to a power encounter. There are daily warfare procedures there that you can go back to every day to maintain freedom and gain new freedom. We are like onions. God peels back a layer and then another layer and another layer and another layer. If he just exposed the whole core immediately, we would probably die.
Yeah.
So he peels back one layer. And you better believe after you leave here, he's going to show you something else that he wants to peel back. So we have written this for you to take with you and use in your own life. Now, what I want to do is just pray here for a moment. And I would like for the Holy Spirit to show every one of us one thing that he wants to deal with right now. A stronghold, whether it's religious, whether it's emotional, whether it's generational, whether it's sexual, that he wants to evict today. A stronghold that he wants to tear down with truth today. Now, we're going to do this right now. I want you to move into a state of prayer here and just ask, Holy Spirit, show me something you want to deal with right now. Show me a stronghold that you want to deal with right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare your protection over this environment. We declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and you have come into this place to give liberty today. There are generational strongholds that will be broken today. In Jesus' name. The first thing we're going to do is pray a prayer of submission. And I want you to repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I give you control of my body, my mind, my will, and emotions. I invite you to be Lord of my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think of the sin or the stronghold that has come up for you. Don't worry about your neighbor. Nobody's listening. We all got our own junk. We're taking out the garbage. We're bringing in the groceries. You want the flies to leave? You got to take the garbage out. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess to you the sin of giving ground to the spirit of and name that spirit. Just go ahead out loud. Don't worry about anybody else. This spirit is not from you. I do not want it in my life. I confess that I have sinned. And right now, I receive the forgiveness that comes from you. From the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for forgiving me now. Now, we are going to renounce. And when we renounce, we're not praying anymore. So I want you to open your eyes. Don't look at me. I don't want you renouncing me. I look down because it says Satan is under our feet. I don't want to give him any more authority or privilege than what he has. I don't like to look up anymore. I look down. I want him to know he's under my feet. So Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to be gone from me now. It is written, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You evil spirit of and name the spirit. I call you to attention. You cannot sleep or hide. You cannot multiply or divide. You cannot communicate with any other demonic networks. And you cannot manifest or influence me in any way. I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to loose me and go right now to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to return again. I am free from you now and forever. For it is written, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now, we're going to go back to praying. We want to pray to receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for freeing me from that evil spirit. And right now, I ask you to take back all ground that I have given to the enemy. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Take control of my body. Take control in every area of my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill me to overflowing with your holy presence. I receive. Thank you for keeping your promise to fill me and to control me. Hallelujah. Let's just give God praise. Now, how many of you would say you just dealt and got some freedom in your life? Amen. Praise God. How many of you know a stronghold just broke? And other strongholds are breaking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to just close this time just praying over us, and then I'm going to invite John to come and move us to our final session here as we end with empowerment. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to go all in here. You can do that, right? So, Father God, we thank you for the freedom you have brought. This morning and just now, we thank you for the strongholds that have come down in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are delivering us. We submit to your leadership. We submit to your control. And Lord, we believe that you want to set us free so that you can set Williamsport free. Everything you do in us, you want to do through us. So as you have delivered us, use us to bring deliverance to other people. As you have set us free, use us to bring freedom to other people in Jesus' name. Lord, we seal everything that's been done here. As Paul talks about the seal of the Holy Spirit, we ask, Holy Spirit, seal up the freedom that has come. Lord, for those who have broken generational sins and curses, generational strongholds, Lord, as you have cut it off at the root, we pray now bless 1,000 generations in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.